Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, global tribe of disruptors. Wherever you are disrupting, you're catching Coach Nick and the dudes of disruption. We are committed to disrupting your automatics. This podcast episode is called People First. Yes, people, all people, people first. You can catch all of our episodes due to disruption on Podomatic and on iTunes. You're listening to Coach Nick and the dudes of disruption. I'm Coach Nick, author, speaker, and facilitator around transformational and leadership topics, and a committed disruptor. Why we're here? To awaken humanity so everyone, and I mean everyone, gets to leave their mark and be self-expressed. I deliver transformation and disruption in the areas of leadership development, corporate culture and engagement, team dynamics and development, and personal development. And one of my favorite things that I get to do every month, every week, is run a Dudes of Disruption men's group here in New York City. If you're interested in checking out our Dudes of Disruption men's group here in New York, and to join our community, to check us out, email me at CoachNick@CoachNick.com. I have one of my dudes from the Dudes of Disruption men's group in studio with me producing this podcast today. His name is Isaac Greenbaum. Hi, Isaac. Welcome again.
Hi, Nick.
We're going to bring Isaac into the conversation in a moment. Isaac, we're talking about people first.
Awesome.
Okay?
Yeah, people.
People.
Got it.
It's all about people.
All about people.
Give it to the people.
Love the people.
Most organizations, though, Isaac, have it that it's the customer first. The customer or the client is king. You've heard that term before.
Sure. Customer's always right.
The paradigm at almost every organization, both in business or community related, is that the customer or the patient or the guest, they come first. They come first, second, and third. What would be possible if other people came first before the customer or the client or the patient or the guest? What's possible? We start every show with a quote or a line from a song to help set a context.
I know that, dude.
I love that, dude. So I have a quote, Isaac, that I want to share with you and ask you how this lands on you.
Cool.
It's from one of my mentors. His name is Tom Zapolsky. And he once said to me, and he may have gotten this from somewhere else, but he once said to me, Nick, love the relationship more than yourself. Love the relationship. The relationship could be the relationship that you have with your partner, the relationship that you have with your kids, the relationship that you have with your employees, the relationship that you have with your colleagues, the relationship that you have with your boss, the relationship that you have with your company, the relationship that you have with your country. Love the relationship more than you. That's pretty radical. What do you think about that, Isaac?
Yeah, that really hits me like get out of your head. Get out of yourself and get into others.
Right? Okay.
So it sounds like for me, it's like, yeah, love that relationship. Take care of other people in it more than what you're thinking about in your own agenda.
Right. So more about the other person versus about you.
Right.
Being outwardly focused versus being inwardly focused is what you're saying.
Yes.
Okay. Awesome. Well, so let me just ride your coattails and build on that point. Again, the quote was, love the relationship more than yourself. And so what I mean by that also is that the relationship includes you. Whatever that relationship is, again, if it's a relationship with your partner or it's a relationship with your business partner, with one of your employees or your boss, your company or your country, you get taken care of in the relationship. So if you love the relationship more than you, you actually get taken care of. And the relationship can be anything, again, both personally and professionally. And when you're committed to the relationship, actually, you're playing and you're operating at a higher level. You're playing a bigger game than yourself, which is what you're talking about. It's not about you. The significance is not only on you. The significance is really about something much, much larger. Is that fair to say? Is that what you were getting at? Is that what you were echoing?
Yeah. I mean, in regards to, you know, those relationships in our lives, because, you know, we have relationships at home. We have relationships at work. We have relationships in the gym.
Right.
All over the place.
Right.
Right. And what are you bringing to that relationship?
Yes, exactly. So the disruption, Isaac, and global tribe of disruptors, the disruption is to make it about people and people first today. rather than always saying, well, it's the customer first, it's the patient first, it's about our guests first. Because here's the thing, instead, if companies said it's people first, then everybody's included, right? So when businesses say guest first or customer first, then the employees are included, the managers and leadership at the company are included, the vendors that the company works with, the communities where the business or the businesses at their multiple locations, the communities get impacted. Guess who else gets impacted? The customer. So the disruption is to have a paradigm called people first, because then everyone, including your customer, including your patient if you're in healthcare, including your guest if you're in the hospitality, restaurant, or hotel business, everybody gets included. When companies say customer first or the customer is king, it almost feels very exclusive. If I'm an employee at the company, I don't feel like I'm included in that. It feels like, I mean, great, I understand the customer is important. They pay the bills. If without the customers, we wouldn't be in business. We wouldn't be having this conversation. Then, yes, of course, that's accurate. And guess what? I feel excluded when we're making it only about the customer as opposed to people. People first. Let's take care of all people at our organization, which includes our employees, our customers, our vendors, the communities we work at, our volunteers, our interns. Everybody gets a vote. Everybody gets included. When you have a mindset called love the relationship more than you, it's a very inclusive mindset.
Yeah, it's like dropping a stone, right? Those ripples that come out.
Yes.
You know, the more work that you do with yourself and you're in that circle.
Right. Right?
So that circle, that closest circle for me,
yes,
is my family.
Yes.
And then outside, that's the second family.
Yes.
Right? Which is work.
Yes.
Right? So yes, when you work on those relationships like we started talking about,
yes,
right, and you're going out of yourself and into them, then they in turn, you know, affect how everyone else is.
Yes. I think it's interesting that, you know, I think often when we operate like love me first or love the customer first or love the guest first, it does create this paradigm of me versus you, or what's in it for me, or what can I get, or what are you getting? And so it starts to create an environment where we're keeping score on each other. Like, wow, our customers get more than our employees. You know, our leadership seems to appease and handle situations that are sticky with customers much easier than they are with employees. And then employees become resentful, right? And then they become disengaged and they become disconnected. And so again, the disruption is, as an organization, as a company, even as a family, having a paradigm called people first. That way everyone feels included, including, can I say that, included?
If you take a pause.
Right, if I take a pause. Everyone then gets included, which includes the customers, your employees, your leadership, your interns, your volunteers, the communities at large, etc. You get the point. Let me share with you an example where this paradigm called love the relationship more than you, because then you could actually get more out of it, first popped up for me. I was reading many years ago, almost 25 years, which is a long time, which means that I'm now hitting my 30s. Okay,
you look great.
Thank you. I appreciate that. There's a book called The Winner Within by Pat Riley. And one of the things that he realized was that as he was coaching his players, and he had some superstars, by the way. Mm. He had Magic Johnson. He had Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. He had James Worthy and so on. He had some really talented players who ended up becoming Hall of Fame players and a lot of great role players as well. And what he realized was the only way to get his team to not only be champions, but to get them to be legendary so that a guy like me 25, 30 years later is talking about them, was to get them to love the relationship more than themselves. And what he said to them was, if you guys make certain compromises, pass the ball more, shoot the ball less, block a little more, right? Screen a little bit more, do some more of the dirty work, be willing to sit on the bench a few minutes extra and let somebody from the bench come and take your place who may be a better fit for that particular play or for that particular quarter or particular team that we're playing against. If you guys operate from a place of us versus me, that in the end, you're going to actually get more. That in the end, if you play an us game versus a me game, you're going to get more endorsements. You're going to get more advertisements. You're going to get more commercials. You're going to get the bigger contract, because what's going to happen is you're going to be part of a championship team.
Even without the alley-oop.
Even without the alley-oop, you're going to, by loving the relationship more than yourself, which means you're outwardly focused versus inwardly focused, meaning you're making sure that the relationship is getting taken care of. And again, a reminder, you're part of that relationship. So if you're willing to let others take a few minutes from you and you sit on the bench, or if you're willing to pass the ball so that somebody else can also take some shots and feel good, if you're willing to screen to let somebody else shoot and feel good and help win the game, that in the end, you're going to win even more, because your team can become a champion. And when you become a champion, people remember you more than from your individual contributions. What do you think about that story?
Yeah, I really like it. I mean, I spent a lot of time in sports, but how I relate to it now is listening, right? Where can I start? I can start with just listening.
Right.
And that's a gift, right, that you can give someone.
Yes.
In regards to being able to be not about me,
yes,
but about us.
Absolutely.
Right? And giving people a voice is the most empowering thing that you can do,
yes,
for an individual, whether you're in the work relationship or
at home.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And by the way, when people are empowered, when people are unleashed in a relationship that you're in, you get the benefit of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the beauty of playing an us game versus a me game. That's the value in being outwardly focused versus inwardly focused. That when you're making others shine, that's what Pat Riley was trying to say. Help make the other players around you shine so they can help you win, so that in the end, you're actually going to get more, because you're going to be part of a championship team. And if you're part of a championship team, people will remember you, like me sitting here talking about them 25, 30 years later. Isaac, again, it's interesting that companies are so obsessed with the customer first, the customer's king. You know, it's all about the guest, you know, in hospitality, right? And yes, they're important. They're critical to the business. And in order for your customers to be taken care of, if you're in healthcare, for your patients to be taken care of, if you're in hospitality, for your guests to be taken care of, if you're in some nonprofit, for your donors to be taken care of, you first must fill up the tank of your most important asset, which is your people. When people feel taken care of, when their tank is filled up, then they bring a different kind of energy and a different kind of focus to your donors, to your guests, to your patients, to your customers.
Well, you're giving them skin in the game, right?
Say more about that.
They've got a seat at the table.
Yes.
They've actually are contributing to the, you know, the vision, the mission of wherever it is. If it's in the organization, then that needs to be clear, right?
Right.
That communication has to be transparent.
Yes.
Right? Because that in itself will allow them to know that there's nothing, that they're part of something.
Yes.
Right? And that nothing else is going on behind the scenes.
Yes. Let me share with you, if I may, some statistics from Gallup. Gallup is a leading organization around engagement, employee performance, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I want to share with you some data, because I think this thing called putting employees second or third is has an impact. It has a cost on your business. And I think it's an epidemic. I think employees and staff not feeling appreciated and being disengaged is an epidemic. Let me share, and I'm being dramatic on purpose, because I read some of these statistics and it really feels like we have an epidemic on our hand called, there's a lot of unhappy employees out there. So Gallup surveyed almost 4 million workers from different industries on the topics of recognition and praise and appreciation. And the results are pretty startling, actually. An estimated 22 million workers are currently, presently, like right now, as we're talking, 22 million workers are presently actively disengaged, or they're extremely negative in the workplace. And this cost, so talking about cost, this cost the U.S. economy up to $300 billion a year in productivity. And by the way, this doesn't account for absences, illnesses, and other problems that may result when workers are disengaged from their work and from their companies. 22 million people are actively disengaged. By the way, the way Gallup, I'm going to paraphrase, the way Gallup defines actively disengaged, it's as if you have employees. If you're on a rowboat, for example, right, and people are on a rowboat, and you got 10 people on the rowboat, and you're trying to go from, you know, point A to point B on the rowboat, you have two people out of those 10 who are literally trying to poke holes in the rowboat. You have people who are actually trying to hit the other people who are trying to row in the head with their what is that, the paddle, the row?
The oar.
Thank you. Yeah. This is why you need to be in the studio, because I don't know these things. Okay?
Yes, and.
That's huge. What do you think about that? 22 million people in our workforce.
Well,
that's an epidemic that we should be talking about.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's even worse than I thought you were just going to say something about them having the oar up out of the water. But if they're actually trying to, you know, put a hole in the ship,
yes,
right, and the ship is your business,
yes,
you better stand up and take notice.
Yes.
And what's going to happen, and how you're not going to get that by yelling into that, like if they're rowing, and you're not going to get anywhere by yelling at them.
Absolutely not.
Right?
Absolutely not. I'll tell you how much you're not going to get if you yell at them. Here's another statistic from Gallup. The number one reason people leave their jobs is because they don't feel appreciated. This is why we're calling today's podcast People First. And again, I'm not making it only about employees. When I say people first, it's an attitude. It's a way of being. It's a paradigm. It's a context. It's a mindset, which is people include everybody. People includes employees, leaders, the vendors you work with, your interns, your volunteers, your clients, your guests, your donors. Everybody's included in that mindset. Everybody then feels appreciated. When we put the focus only on customers, or we put the focus only on shareholders, that means somebody else is not getting something. It becomes a me versus you, an us against them. What are you getting that I'm not getting? Or what am I getting that you're not getting? This paradigm, I think it's really important that organizations, and regardless if it's a nonprofit or a community-based organization or a for-profit, or even a family for that matter, to have a mindset called people first. Let me give you some more statistics in case you were not convinced that this is an epidemic. The epidemic meaning that employees do not feel appreciated. 65% of Americans received zero recognition in the workplace last year, according to Gallup. 65%? That's crazy. Does that shock you?
Yeah, what I'm also curious to hear about was year over year, right?
Right.
And how long they've been in the organization.
Right.
And see the statistic that shows how over time of that lack of recognition is that employees, you know, productivity going to go up or going to go down?
Yes.
Come on, it's going to go down.
Here's a couple of more things I want to share. A study found that negative employees, these actively disengaged people who are poking holes in the rowboat or they're hitting others with the oar. The study found that negative employees can scare off every customer. You hear this? This is from Gallup. They can scare off every customer or client or guest or donor that they speak with for good. Mm-hmm. So for those organizations who say, it's all about the customer, it's all about the guest, it's all about our donors, it's all about our stakeholders and our shareholders. Yes, they get to go too. They get a vote also. But if you have employees who are negative and actively disengaged, according to Gallup, every customer, every guest, every donor that they touch will be gone.
Well, what else do they also say? They say one bad apple spoils the bunch.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So think about all those other, you know, active or engaged employees and how they may be impacted by this one individual because they're disenfranchised.
Yes. So again, the disruption here, for those of you who are leaders in business or in your communities and in your homes, the disruption is to bring a paradigm, a context called people first. So everybody, and I mean everybody, feels included. I'm all about inclusivity. When people feel included, they feel appreciated. they feel safe. You know, I often say that when people feel safe, they become smarter, even though they were smart the entire time. Because when people feel safe and they feel appreciated, all of a sudden they share more, they say more, they take more responsible risks, they raise their hand and volunteer for projects. All of a sudden, you become the model employee, the poster child of the kind of employee that you want. And it all goes back to stop playing a game called customer goes first or our stakeholders go first. Play a game called every single person who we interact with, every single person goes first. There's more than enough to give to everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. You don't want people to have a fear of reprisal if they do anything. That's even before they get to the point where they're disenfranchised and they're not doing anything.
Right.
The most important part of your organization is your people.
Yes.
Right.
I know. I think it's the most important asset. Why are we even having this conversation?
Right. Well, people aren't listening.
They're not.
How we get them to listen?
Well, the way they listen, Isaac, is a good question, is they should download the other 100 or so episodes that we have of Dudes of Disruption on Podomatic or on iTunes. You served that up to me, so I had to do it. Listen, in my experience as a leader, both as a leader of leading people, because I do that, and as a facilitator and as a coach as well, in my experience, and this is not rocket science, and at the same time, it's one of the most valuable things that I believe I could share, is that when people feel taken care of, when people feel appreciated, when people feel included, then people play a game that's much bigger than themselves. When people feel and experience all those things, that's when they'll say, hey, you know what? I'm going to raise my hand and volunteer for that project, even though it's beyond my job description. When they finish their job, then they go and they start asking other people, how are you doing? How can I help you? But that can only exist when they feel taken care of, when they feel like their tank has been filled up, right? Love the relationship more than you is very much an inclusive mindset and way of being. Listen, parenting, you're a parent, right? You have two kids.
Oh, yeah.
Parenting is a great example of love the relationship more than you.
No.
Would you say that?
I absolutely agree with it, because I've got twin boys, and they're both different.
Right.
And they both have different needs.
Right.
Right? So I can't come at them the same way.
Right.
Right? I'm going to get different kinds of results.
Right.
The same thing at work. I'm going to have different kinds of employees with different levels of skill.
Right.
And they were going to respond in different ways. Some will take praise well in public. Some will shy away from it.
Yes.
And you handle them differently.
Yes.
Same thing, but you still take care of them. You meet them where they're at.
But and also because parenting, sometimes people will say it's a selfless job. You know, I had to sacrifice everything when you become a parent or as a parent, currently. Right. And what I'm saying actually is when you love the relationship more than you, in this case, your kids. Right. You get all the goodies, too, because you're getting the experience. You're learning from your kids. I mean, how many of us have said, oh, my gosh, I'm learning so much from my 4-year-old, from my 8-year-old, from, you have 8-year-old twins.
Yeah.
That, when you're committed to the relationship more than yourself, you're actually getting filled up as well. I mean, I get filled up so many times by being around my kids, by observing them, by listening to them. That's what I mean by when we have a mindset called us versus me, then you're getting included in the us. I want people to really get that us includes you as well. So here's the question for our global tribe of disruptors who are committed to disrupting the automatics. By the way, disrupting the automatic way of thinking, the automatic way of doing, the automatic way of being, and not because our automatic is wrong, by the way, Isaac.
Mm.
It's really about disrupting the automatic so that we choose from an awakened place. We choose with eyes wide open. We choose from a place that we have options versus, well, this just this way. It's the only thing I can do. It's what I was taught by my boss. It's the only thing I was taught by my father. You have a choice. That's what the show is really committed to, is disrupting the automatic so that you can get back on the court and choose with eyes wide open. So here's the question I want to ask to our global tribe of disruptors. Where in your life, at work or at home, where are you playing a me game versus an us game? A game where you're playing win-lose or lose-lose versus we all win, which would be a win-win type of paradigm. And if you were to disrupt and play a game of win-win, a game of inclusivity, what would be possible? What would be possible if you played a game called Everyone's Included, People First, not just stakeholders, not just donors, not just our vendors, everybody. Everybody gets included in inside of that. You can check out the Dudes of Disruption on social media throughout the week. We're on Facebook, Dudes of Disruption. We're on Twitter, DOD Talk Radio. You can email me at CoachNick@CoachNick.com. You can catch the podcast that we have on iTunes and Podomatic if you just research Dudes of Disruption. So, Isaac, it's that time. We're about to do parting shots. Okay, what we've been talking about is people first as a paradigm, as a context, versus it's customer first, it's customer king, our stakeholders come first. I'm saying people first, so our employees feel included, so our employees feel like they get to go, their tank gets filled up also. What's your parting shot?
Well, the cost. I mean, if you don't think taking your people into account,
right,
is going to pay off for you, what's the cost of losing them all?
Yes. Well, it's the Gallup statistic that said when you have a negative, actively disengaged employee, every customer, and they said every customer that they interact with, the company loses. That's powerful. That's powerful for those people out there who are running businesses, who are all about the customer first or the stakeholder first, people first, which includes everybody.
Right. And everyone needs to be taken care of, right?
Yes.
And because they are in itself going to be those brand advocates of your organization.
Yes.
Right? And what do you want them to be advocating?
Yes.
You know?
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah, extenuating the positive.
Okay, right? Awesome. Isaac, thank you for being on the show again, because you've been on two of our shows now.
Yeah, that's great.
Great to have you here in studio.
Pleasure.
My parting shot is loving the relationship more than you gives you access to a win-win mindset, a win-win way of being and approach. And what I mean by win-win is that everyone is taken care of while still maintaining, by the way, the competitive energy. How about instead of beating someone, how about being the best that you can be at something, right? How about instead of what am I getting versus what you're getting? Or why did you get what you got because I didn't get that? Instead of playing that game, what if we all came together? All peoples, right? If all people came together and said, let's be legendary at research. Let's be legendary at developing a certain process in our industry. Let's be legendary and the example. Let's be the example of how you take care of employees. How you create a highly engaged and highly performing culture. How about if we became the company or the organization where people wanted to come and visit us and come observe us and pick our brain and have people interview us? How about that be the competition versus me versus you? You get something, I don't get something. I win, you lose, you win, and I lose. How about being the best that you can be about learning and exploring ways to be better? Because good isn't good enough. I mean, good is good.
Yeah.
And good isn't good enough because we can always do better as human beings. And we've always proven that as individuals and as organizations.
It's the cycle of continuous improvement.
Exactly. And so if you have a mindset called people first, then everybody is included in this continuous improvement mindset and paradigm. When we have a mindset of people first, then people feel taken care of differently. So they are more likely to being inspired and being engaged organically and naturally will come together to explore and discover and explore again with vigor. So much more can get accomplished when everyone feels like they're being taken care of versus one group gets something and another group doesn't get something. So come together, people first. Make that the context of your business and everyone will show up differently. You've been listening to Coach Nick and the Dudes of Disruption. One of my dudes from our men's group, Isaac Greenbaum, has been in the studio. Thank you so much, Isaac. If you want more information about our men's group, email me at CoachNick@CoachNick.com. You can find the Dudes of Disruption podcast on iTunes and Podomatic. You can also check us out, as I said earlier, on Facebook, Dudes of Disruption. And we end every podcast episode with a famous disruptor, a Hall of Fame disruptor, Dr. Seuss. Don't cry because it's over. Big, huge, major smile because the dudes just happened.